All right, so I knew I was going to start with a question, though. And the question is this. What's your first thought when you wake up? Is the coffee on? I heard other answers. Shout them out. Yeah, can I get 5 more minutes? Yeah. What's that? What time is it? Yeah, roll over. What day is it? Who am I? Where am I? If you're like Lynn Twist, who's a writer, she says, for me and for many of us, our first waking thought of the day is, whoa, go back, go back, go back, go back. We're working the glitches out today. She says, for me and for many of us, our first waking thought of the day is, I didn't get enough sleep. Does that sound familiar to anyone? You have 5 more minutes. Before we even sit up in bed, before our feet touch the floor, we're already inadequate, already behind, already losing, already lacking something. And by the time we go to bed at night, our minds are racing with a litany of what we didn't get or didn't get done that day. We go to sleep burdened by those thoughts and wake up to that reverie of lack. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Wake up thinking of all the things we didn't get or don't have or need. Go to bed thinking of all the things we didn't do and still need to accomplish. This is what's called a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset is a mindset of not enough. It's about what we don't have. It's about what we haven't done. It's about who we are not at its deepest level. It's a way of viewing ourselves and the world through that lens of not enough. Jesus, however, comes and says that we are to have lives that are not only enough, but abundant. Jesus says he's come to give us abundant life. And after we have our little intro video right now, that's what we're going to read. Verses 30 through 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught, and he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. But when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they can go to the country and the villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Did you hear in that story the scarcity mindset? It's right there. Not enough. Did you also see abundance in that story? More than enough. Overflowing. And the link between that scarcity mindset and that vision of abundance is a question Jesus asks, not in these exact words, but in verse 38, he says to the disciples, "What do you have? What do you have?" And Jesus, as usual, is teaching toward a paradigm shift, a shift in perspective of how his disciples are seeing life and the world. And we use this image for this shift in perspective between, do you see the glass as half empty or half full? Right? How many of you are, would say you're glass half full kind of people? I see the glass half full. How many of you would say I'm a glass half empty kind of person? See the glass, yeah. Now, of course, both of those are right. The glass is half empty and it's half full. But the question for us is, how much time do we spend thinking about the things or the money that we don't have versus giving thanks for the things that we do have? How much time do we spend thinking about the things that we're not good at or incapable of doing versus offering the world that which we can do and are capable of? How much time do we spend thinking about the ways the world is messed up versus thinking about all the ways the world is beautiful and interesting? And let's just get real right now. How many of you came in and look around today, walk into church, and think of the people who aren't here? Whether those people have names or just wish there were other people here, more people here. Versus how many of you come into church thinking of how can I love the people who are here? Now, when we're talking about this shift, we're not talking about optimism. We're not talking about naivety. You see, the scarcity mindset is a distorted mindset. To maintain a mindset where everything is not enough, we have to ignore reality. We have to ignore the people who are here. We have to ignore the things in the world that are beautiful and good and true. We have to ignore the things, the gifts that we do have and the things that we do have, to maintain that scarcity mindset. It's a distorted mindset. And so the disciples, when they look around, they're only seeing not enough, right? They haven't even yet seen what is there. They don't even know about the fish and the loaves yet. The 2 loaves and the 5 fish, or is it the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, right? They haven't even seen that yet. They're not seeing an accurate picture because all they're focused on is what there isn't. And what they don't have. It's the not enough mindset. Now there are moments and times for all of us, and there are people and places in the world where not enough is part of a reality. That's the other part of this. So the scarcity mindset is not enough. Of not enough is distorted. But optimism, or only seeing the glasses half full, can also be a distorted version of reality too. There are the nights where we only got 2 hours of sleep. And that genuinely is not enough sleep, right? There are people in the world who make about $2 a week, and that's not enough to feed a family. There are people who wake up in the morning, and when they roll over, they're in prison, and there's something not enough about that for them to live an abundant life, you would think. And so you have these two realities of what there is and what there isn't. And so the question then is, what do we do with all that? Because where the story gets really interesting is when they do go and they do find that there are 5 loaves and 2 fish, and it's still not enough, right? That's a reality. There's 5,000 plus people and they have 5 loaves and 2 fish. So what do you do with that? And this is where we move from the not enough scarcity mindset to the enough kind of seeing what there is mindset into a whole other reality, which is we're calling the abundant life. The abundant life. That's what Jesus called it, the abundant life. And so I want to break down this story for you. And since today is the first Sunday of the NFL season, I thought I'd break it down like NFL films for you, okay? So let's see if this works, okay? All right, so the first thing that we see in the story is you have the disciples who are telling everyone to fend for themselves, right? This is the scarcity mindset. Okay, send everyone away. They can buy their own stuff. We don't have enough. And when Jesus says, well, you give them something, they say, well, we don't have enough to do that, right? So they have fend for themselves mindset. But Jesus then, he calls the community play, right? He says, we're not sending everyone away. Come here. Tell them to come here, right? And get in groups, actually. There's like an emphasis on this community. Let us be together. We don't think there's enough, but let's be together in it. It's the first thing that Jesus does. Then you have the disciples, okay, then we got to do something, and we got to scramble. And some of them, you know that feeling? Okay, we got a problem here. I don't think there's enough. I got to scramble around and I'm going to get something done. I'm going to fix it, right? And that's what the disciples are thinking, right? So he says, you give them something. He says, are we going to go buy 200 denarii? And they're already anxious. We don't know what we're going to do, right? Jesus says, tell everyone to sit down. Tell everyone to sit down, all right? Relax. Take a moment of peace. Because we do not function well. We do not solve problems well in anxiety and scrambling. Right? So he says, sit down. And then finally, you know, the disciples and the crowds probably, and most of us in our daily lives, minute to minute, we're operating only in the material realities of the world. So they go and they find the fish and the loaves. And all they see when they see those is still not enough. But what Jesus does is he invites everyone into an acknowledgement, a recognition of the presence of the abundant God who is always there. He calls them into community. He tells them to rest. And he reminds them of the abundant God who created this abundant world. And then says, all right, let's see what happens. Let's see what can happen. Let's see what's possible. That is what Jesus is talking about in John 10:10 when he says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now this week I found it quite stimulating to consider this message and how I was not going to be just Norman Vincent Peale preaching the power of positive thinking. Because that's not what this is. And how I would not be one of those TV preachers who's kind of we call it the prosperity gospel, name it and claim it. You just believe you have it and it's yours. You want that car, you got it. Right? Just trust. And if you don't, it's because you don't have enough faith. Or you haven't sent me enough money, right? Like, I was like, okay, how can I preach the abundant life without being one of those preachers? Because both of those things are foreign to the faith and teachings of Jesus. The power of positive thinking says, I believe I have and I can and it will work out. That's positive thinking. That's the glasses half full thing. The name it and claim it is, prosperity gospel is, again, foreign to what Jesus teaches. Believe it and you've got it. Pray for it, you've got it. And I say it's foreign to the faith and teachings of Jesus because if Jesus could just name it and claim it, think about him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, let this cup pass from me. That's what I want. If he just named it and claimed it, he could have been transported away from that cross. Never would have had to see the suffering of the next day of his life. Right? So whatever we mean when we say, talk about the abundant life, it has to have room for the cross. And so here's where I am on this. In the life of Jesus, what we see is that even on the cross, even when things don't work out, even when there are genuinely painful things happening to us and we have real needs that are not being met, even in those moments, there is still an abundance of love and grace flowing into our lives from the fount of every blessing. I'm in a cohort of other pastors with a group called Leadership Toledo, and this is where I was introduced to the abundance and scarcity thing. And in one of these group sessions, our leader, Bryce Roberts, who's going to preach for us this fall, incidentally, he said it like this. He said, abundance is the sacred recognition that what is holy, is human, is therefore, in some way, good. Abundance is the accessing of the holiness and giftness of the world and our life within it. That's a pretty radical way of living. To be able to receive the pleasurable and the painful and be able to say, this is, and it's good because this is my life and God is in it. We discover when we resist the ways that we cope with scarcity. All of us have ways of coping with scarcity. When we resist those natural inclinations, right? Send everyone away and let everyone fend for themselves. Let's scramble around and fix this. When we resist those urges, what we discover when we sit in our groups of 50 and 100 on the green grass and we offer what we do have, and who we are up to God, we discover that there is abundance. And so that's why I'm saying this fall, that it's not about whether the glass is half empty or half full. The question is, who's pouring? The one who's pouring is the God who created this abundant world and who created you and said, you are good. And I'm in your life forever. This is the promise of baptism. It's this immersion into the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's an immersion into the community that bears his name and shares his grace. This is what allows us to live differently, to live with joy, to live with peace, to live with hope, regardless of what the circumstances around us are. And so we have this verse that so often is used totally out of context. How many of you know this verse? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you have heard that verse? We see it on football fields. And often it means like, I can win this game through Christ who strengthens me. And I always be like, what if the other team has that too? Right? Like, how does that... No, that's not what that verse is about. What it's about is Paul saying, whether I have or I have not, whether I'm free or in prison, I can live the abundant life of Christ because it is Christ who strengthens me. It's not my circumstances. It's not whether things are going well. It's the presence of Christ in my life that gives me strength and makes me not only enough, but overflowing to others. I can love and serve and fulfill my purpose no matter what's going on around me. And so, even though I don't have all this figured out, I wouldn't say I'm an abundance guy every 7 days a week, living in this overflowing love and joy and peace of Jesus, and which is why I'm as excited for this fall as I hope you are, or I feel like I need these messages as much as I hope you do. This is the crux of it. And I've read this quote before, and it's a long one, but it's exactly what we're talking about, by Walter Brueggemann. He says, we must confess that the central problem of our lives, that's when you want to listen, central problem of our lives, is that we are torn apart by the conflict between our attraction to the good news of God's abundance. And I think we're attracted to that. It's probably why we're here. And the power of our belief in scarcity. We're torn between these two things. We're living in that middle, trying to figure out, how do I live into God's abundance when I have this force of the power of scarcity pulling on me? He says, the conflict between the narratives of abundance and of scarcity is the defining problem that confronts us. The gospel story of abundance asserts that we originated in the magnificent, inexplicable love of a God who loved the world into generous being. The baptismal service declares that each of us has been miraculously loved into existence by God. And the story of abundance says that our lives will end in God and that this well-being cannot be taken from us. And so what we know about our beginnings and our endings then creates a different kind of present tense for us. Let me just explicate that for just a minute. Our beginning, both individually, our lives come from love, and the beginning of this world is an overflow of God's love. And in that past, Jesus Christ came and made humanity holy in a whole new way and said that our destiny is love. That's our past. Our future is love eternal. Those two things change our present. We can live according to an ethic whereby we are not driven, controlled, anxious, frantic, or greedy, precisely because we are sufficiently at home and at peace to care about others as we have been cared for. You can spend the whole fall just reflecting on that paragraph right there. So this fall, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts. It's the story of how these disciples are learning, are trying to live out this ethic of abundance together. But it felt right to start here in Mark 6 with this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Because the experience and the ministry of the disciples in Acts is directly rooted in their experience of Jesus. And so we began with this story, and it's a story that I've preached and taught and done Bible studies with lots of times. I didn't count them, but lots of times. And I've looked at this story and what it was like from all the different angles, I thought. What was this story like for the disciples? Right? What would that have been like? What was this story like for the crowds who are, for some reason, sitting in 50s and 100s, and there's no food, so what are we doing here, right? What was that like for them? What was the story like for Jesus? I thought about it from all those angles. As I was sitting out in front of the art museum this week and reflecting on this text, I had a new thought for me. That maybe, in this story, we're not first and foremost the disciples or the crowds or even Jesus. Maybe we are the bread and the fish. That Jesus takes into his hands and blesses and broken offers us to the world. And when we are taken into the hands of Jesus and blessed and broken and offered to the world, we find that we are not only enough, but abundantly far more than we ever imagined we could be. Let's pray. God of abundant grace, we pray that you would remove the lenses that we wear that distort our vision of this world as a place where there is not enough. Where we think we are not enough, where we think others are not enough. We pray this fall that you would train our eyes to see your abundance at work in us and through us and among us and in the lives of others. Take us into your hands. Bless us, break us, and offer us to the world so that we can love and serve and give in generosity and joy. Amen.